Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And
hello, welcome everybody.
Chuck, sparking in, I'm jumping in at the last second.
Yeah, hey, right on time as always. Happy J6, everybody.
You, Chuck.
Happy J6. It's the Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right, brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. That's right. January 6th, I have to, you know, there were times when I thought this day would not come ever again.
We'd live in infamy.
We'd live in infamy, and Donald Trump would, the Democrats are going to try to do something awful.
Every year, it would be a... He'd be like Guy Fawkes Day over
or something. And, well, then they were going to do something. Actually, since he won, then they were going to try to do something to keep him. But that did not happen. Today, Congress officially certified Donald Trump as the winner of the 2024 presidential election. And kind of, I have to say, I thought she handled it well. Some of the stuff on X and other social media were kind of making fun of Kamala Harris, because Kamala Harris had to preside over the certification. But I thought she handled it well. Well, I am being fair there. Okay. If I were her, I might have been crabbier about it, to tell you the truth. Instead of banging the gavel, I would have accidentally, Mike Johnson, sorry. But anyway, Thomas, if we could, here's how it unfolded. If we could please play the Trump certified soundbite.
The state of the vote for the President of the United States as delivered to the President of the Senate is as follows. The whole number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, the majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
And she did. They kept clapping and she gaveled them off, too. So there you go. There you go. Congress certified Donald Trump. Next week, some of the hearings start for some of the confirmations. Obviously, the 20th is the inauguration.
Where he's
officially sworn in.
To begin the vendetta.
The revenge tour. No, he seems to not be doing that.
Oh, bullshit.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about, so here is how, though, the Democrats, they just don't get that no one anymore cares about or buys their January 6th insurrection. So this is what Jason Crow, our lovely representative from Colorado, he says, today marks 4 years since the January 6th attack, a violent assault on our democracy, law enforcement, and our country. Today we'll certify Trump, blah, blah, blah. We can never repeat the events of January 6th. Meanwhile, Senator Klobuchar today is falsely claiming that police officers were killed on January 6th. I mean, that's just an outright lie.
They don't care.
They don't care, but they should care, because we're going to play a CNN bite that explains it.
Okay.
Because the Democrats are repeating the lie for 4 years. I remember we were at another event at the Capitol, and they were talking about a riot. The Trump people are rioting. And you guys remember back then? It was like, if you said, well, wait a minute. If you said, well, I don't know, this doesn't seem right. If you said anything like Donald Trump wasn't responsible, I mean, you were ostracized. Look at, you know, Rudy Giuliani. You were criminally charged. I mean, all of the fallout of that, right? All of it based on what we have now learned over the past 4 years, that what we suspected was true. It was just like the Russia hoax. It was just like the Hunter Biden laptop. It was all a lie. There was no riot. No police officers were bludgeoned. It wasn't this, you know, god-awful thing. And what's interesting in CNN, and so we'll play that soundbite here in a second, had some, they kind of broke it down. And the bottom line of it is that really nobody anymore, two things. Number one, a significant portion of the people, the majority of the people, don't believe the Democrat and the media lies
Oh,
anymore.
no.
Even the ones who kind of sort of believe it just don't care. And they talk about what a mistake it was for the Biden administration to keep talking about it and for Democrats. So, Thomas, if we could please play the CNN soundbite.
Views on Donald Trump and his responsibility for January 6 have changed, including how people feel he should be perceived politically. Yes?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, I think if you go back, you know, 4 years ago, right? Trump's role on January 6, 2021 should make him ineligible to be president. The clear majority of voters said yes, 56%, 56%, and that was including removal from office. But of course, Donald Trump won the presidency, and part of the reason why was because views on Trump completely shifted, including Trump's role on January 6, 2021 should make him ineligible for the presidency. By 2023, 2024, it was just 47%. So we saw this drop of about 9 points. And that, of course, is all the difference in the world, going from a majority to short of a majority. And of course, Donald Trump won the vast, 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 vast majority of the other 53% who did not believe that his role on January 6th would make him ineligible for the
Yeah,
presidency.
still a big number, but not enough.
Correct.
Right.
This 9 point shift was tremendous.
All right, let's talk about the why behind it, Harry.
Yeah, why? All right, so part of the reason why is, okay, was Trump greatly responsible for the attack on the Capitol? You go back to January 2021, it was 48%. By the time of December of 2023, look at that. Again, a clear shift down to 37%. This is an 11-point drop, very much mirroring that drop that we saw that the folks said that, of course, would make him ineligible for the presidency. So that is part of the reason why, right? Folks, fewer folks thought he was responsible, greatly responsible for what happened on January 6th. But it's not just that. It's that people simply put, didn't care as much about the attack on the Capitol. Look at this. January 6th is the biggest, is your biggest memory of Trump's first term in office. By the time of 2024, look at this. Look at this. It was just 5%, just 5% of Americans. And among Republicans, it was just 2%. So the bottom line is fewer Americans faulted Donald Trump or thought he was greatly responsible for the January 6th attack. And more than that, as it went into the rearview mirror, far fewer folks thought that it was their number one memory.
Yeah, and this is an extraordinary number, given that President Biden, when he was still in the election, was really putting this as his main
Didn't matter.
Never really was registering. All right, how about views of the results of the 2020 election this 4 years later?
Yeah, you know, this, I think, says everything, right? Because part of the reason those folks attacked the Capitol was because they thought incorrectly that the 2020 election results, in fact, did not reflect the view of the voters. Votes were cast and counted accurately. GOP voters after a given election, just 31% thought that about the 2020 election. Look at this. It turns out when you win an election, far more Republicans thought that the votes were cast and counted accurately, 94%. That is a 63% point jump, John.
The main point is, I think the big difference was in 2020, we had all of the nonsense with the COVID voting, right? That had a lot to do with it, and some of that was gone. So I think it's not just that they won the election. But I think, though, that's just, it's important to look at. I mean, remember here in Colorado, we had Krista Kafer, a bunch of traitor Republicans saying, oh, Donald Trump's role in the insurrection, he shouldn't even be on the ballot, right? No one cares. And I mean, we've been saying that for a while, but I think that's interesting that, like, just 5% of overall people thought it was important, right? And here's, we're going to get into a little bit of why. From Charlene, I thought it was a Fed insurrection on day one, learning patience while everyone else catches up. Sanders says attack at the Capitol, all BS made up by the feds. And that's right. I think so much has happened then. First, we had all the lies about COVID, so people don't believe the government anymore. And once the hysteria dropped down a little bit, people are like, you know, videotapes started emerging of people just kind of wandering around the Capitol. But it is outrageous that so far 1,500 people have been persecuted, prosecuted in the January 6th stuff,
well,
right?
That, this happened 4 years ago, and they're still at it.
Oh.
The Department of Justice, the Attorney General just gave out a message to everyone how proud he was of his henchmen and his
Gestapo-like
right. ones. And that they're continuing on finding grandmothers wherever they may be.
That's right.
You know, the terrorists blowing up things in New Orleans. That's okay.
That's okay.
But we got to get those grannies. So there's still some grannies out there that are still alive and still kicking. They walk by the Capitol, and we've got to hunt them down. And our finest people, our finest prosecutors, investigators,
Well, a lot of them are
police
quitting.
guys. Well, I hope not. Somebody said, "What would happen if those wonderfully seasoned federal employees were to leave at once? What would we do?"
Oh, I guess we'd have to muddle through. From Charlene, Ken Buck was roiled out to squash any dissent from the deep state narrative. And from Leo, how many of the Capitol Police that escorted the visitors on January 6th were arrested for aiding the insurrection? We're going to get some videotape there. But those are excellent points. I mean, it was not very long ago where you had Ken Buck, where you had George Brockler, you had anybody who, and we would raise questions about, what really happened there. They're like, well, we shouldn't question it, right?
Oh,
And there was
yes.
no question. Remember, Tucker Carlson, remember, started to play. He was able to review the videotape, started to play some of the tape where they showed, remember the guy with the whatever, the bullhead kind of thing, right? And then Tucker shows him the cops are escorting him around. He's just wandering around. We started to see all of these videotapes. Then suddenly Tucker Carlson is fired from Fox, right? But interestingly, Cheryl Atkinson, if you follow her on Twitter or X, okay, has been looking at some of the tape too, and we're going to play some of it. And she plays the we're going to play you three different scenarios, okay, that occurred that day that basically show people who were dressed as Trump supporters, right, clearly interacting in a calm, cooperative way with the cops.
Conspiratorial way.
And by I mean the cops are cooperating with them. They're not, it's not like they're doing the cops. The cops are like they're having conversations
We
and
got that. We got that one woman. We killed one. All right.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second too. But it's interesting when you watch this and some of this videotape that the mainstream media has done everything, and Jason Crow, the Democrats, the riots and police officers bludgeoned to death, none of which turned out to be true. Remember in Tucker's tape, the tape that he played, we saw the officer who died of a heart attack days later after the so-called kind of confrontation with the non-rioters. He just like kind of calmly wanders back to his post, right? He's perfectly fine. So all of that was false, but we're going to play a couple. So this is in this one, you're going to see two guys who appear to be talking in a very collaborative way with police officers, and then they kind of like lead. Then all of a sudden it changes, and all of a sudden they're off to the insurrection. So if we could please play Thomas the Atkinson number one.
In the first scenario, the man in the knit cap and blue jacket with his back to us appears and engages an officer.
I think it's odd the way that either he feels comfortable enough or the officer feels comfortable enough to allow him to come in so close and almost whisper to him or talk quietly. You're holding a line, like that's your job while you're there. So you maintain a distance of safety, a reactionary distance where in case things get bad instantly, you do that. But it looks like that's vacated here.
A supervisor tells police and the knit cap man to hold. Seconds later, a man dressed as a Trump supporter with a beard and flag, we'll call him Santa Claus, appears from behind the police line with an apparent escort. The escort goes on to join the police line.
Wondering where the individual came from that came from behind their line and to just for him to have free rein standing along behind them. And the other individual that escorted him there just kind of disappeared forward of the line. So it's strange why if you're holding off a section of a building or any area for a protest or anything like that, that you allow people to mingle around behind you. And not, even if they somehow manage to get there, once you notice that they're there, you should immediately place them on the other side of the line.
Santa Claus blends into the scene by joining knit cap man engaging the officer. Within seconds, the two men push past police and lead the crowd through.
I mean, let's just go over that. So, number one, I mean, I've covered riots and things like that, right? The
You
cops.
have been a riot, I think.
Rioted myself. I covered them. The cops don't engage with the rioters like that. If you're a rioter, you don't get to go up and say, hey, and you talk to the cops, right? Nor do you get to be behind the thing. So here's the thing. Clearly, and I'll say what she did it there. Clearly, the Santa Claus guy is coming from someplace else. He's escorted there by the cops. They have this conversation. I don't know if there's timing going on with someone. somebody else. And then all of a sudden, they talk to the cops. There's no, and they're saying, hold on. What are they holding on? They're not saying, get back. They're saying, hold on, which makes me wonder, what's the timing going on here? And then all of a sudden, they lead the insurrection.
Yay, down the hall they go.
Down the hall they go. I mean, and the same cops,
the same brave people who saved themselves.
Cops were being bludgeoned to death. This is clearly orchestrated. It gets worse. Here's some other ones too. If we could please play the Atkinson number two.
This man with thinning hair works his way to the front of the crowd, and along with the man in the red cap, they aggressively beckon authorities and confer with them. Thin hair man is allowed behind the police line, where he has extensive discussions with the Capitol Sergeant at Arms law enforcement official in the dark suit. That official leaves the conversation and appears to give instructions to two people who scurry down the hall. 2 minutes later, another instigator is about to appear, again from behind police lines. You can't see him yet, but you'll see him in a moment. He appears to be escorted by that sergeant at arms official here, and also by police, who, instead of arresting him, guide him toward the crowd. He's wearing an earmuff hat.
I'd say he's almost like overacting. It's embarrassing. Yeah, where does he come from, and why does he walk through? And if he's already, you know, breached one significant area or a control area that you have control over, why isn't he arrested and immediately removed from the scene then?
Earmuff man, you're seeing the back of his head here, calmly confers multiple times with an officer who points directionally. There's more chatting with the officer, and then earmuff man suddenly changes demeanor, starts acting out again, and is allowed to join the protesters in a lead position.
There just was some basic safety protocols that were not being followed.
Well, and then now we're going to play. And then finally, what happens? It's similar to the first instance where they're kind of milling around, chatting with the cops. They're behind the police lines. They appear to be coordinating something with the cops. And then all of a sudden, they magically break through the police line. And whoa and behold, we're off to a riot. So if we could please play Atkinson number three.
In a matter of just a couple of minutes, these key figures, who'd all once been allowed on the police side of the line, are about to break through the police line together and lead the crowd further toward the speaker's lobby, where Congress is meeting to certify the 2020 election results. There's the gray-haired man. He's first. That's thin hair man.
I mean, and that's clear, right? I mean, so you look at that. I mean, Chuck, I mean, and you guys feel free to weigh in here. This to me appears to be, again, having covered this, the cops don't let you get that close to talk to them if they think that you're rioting, right? You've got people like they would form the thing. They would not be talking to you. They would be, because number one, it's a distraction.
How's the rioting
going? Yeah, I mean, the cops, they don't,
warm.
It's a distraction to them, right? If they think they have a potentially dangerous situation, they don't want to be engaging with you because they're busy keeping their eye on other stuff going on. So if they're chatting with you, they're not paying attention. And then all of a sudden, what are they doing behind the police lines and coming through, right? I mean, to me, this is, and Cheryl has got more coming. She said, this is part one, there's part two and part three coming. To me, this is clear evidence of these guys who were dressed, I guess they were dressed kind of noticeably, right? So they're identifiable. One guy looks like Santa Claus. One guy's got this earmuff hat on, right? And they clearly talk to the cops. Everything's calm. And then all of a sudden, with the cops' complete and total cooperation, they burst through the lines and start their Fed's erection, right?
Oh, it's a dangerous day. It's a dangerous day.
Here's the thing, too, so the January 6th people, of course, the Liz Cheney people don't show any of this, but none of this would be hard to prove, right? all of these guys are very recognizable. It would be a very easy thing to call the cops in. You could identify the cops and say, what are you guys talking about? What were your orders that day? Because here's the thing, guys, this was not like that the FBI had like five guys whose orders were to riot. This was clearly coordinated, right? These are police officers who clearly, at least as far as I'm concerned, know to expect these guys coming in. Mm-hmm. And to me, these are those guys, they are identifying themselves to the cops. The guy who's coming in the two different occasions from behind the police line clearly has been meeting with somebody else someplace else and is now escorted into the area, right? So clearly there was coordination. You look at the pipe bomb thing that was set up when the cops ignored that. This was not just some rogue FBI agent letting five crazy guys instigate stuff. This was clearly, to me, orchestrated and planned, and the cops were in on it. They had to be in on it, don't you think?
Well, but the question is, we know who all these people are. They're well identified and everything else. Why is it that it will not happen is there will not be a new FBI on the cash who will investigate this and say, hey, this is what really happened. There won't be. There never is.
No, there never won't be. And let's see, we're going to read back some stuff. Just like Charlene, poser terrorists in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson deserves all our respect and support. Sandra says, I want to know what the hell happened to the ACLU. The flipping group has turned insane. They should have supported the January 6th defendants. And from Dr. Donna, if you're a rioter, it's not a bro conversation. And then Charlene says, were those three the provocateurs? And Leo says, none of the cops had riot gear on, helmet, shield, vest, or batons. They had their masks on, though, Leo. You know, they were protected from COVID. Well, exactly. And I mean, as more comes out, we know that Trump had asked for there to be extra security, was denied that. But again, this I think is increasing evidence of a far bigger and I don't know. You asked a good question. Who's behind it? And I don't know. But again, this was, to me, when you look at that, there were people who were in place. They were sent there to be in place, both inside and outside. They're inside the Capitol there. The cops knew they were going to be there. There's no, I guarantee you, if you're a rioter, you don't walk up to the cop and say, oh, hey, secretly, I'm an undercover guy. Okay. And the cop guy's, oh, okay, I'll let you go there. No, the cops knew ahead of time that that's what was going on. The cops knew ahead of time that there were going to be people there identifying themselves and they were to let them through. And then the cops turn around and completely lie about, I mean, this wasn't just some upper level guy, right? Those were the street guys, right? Who knew what was going on. So, again, for Jason Crow and the Democrats to keep pushing that narrative, thank goodness no one believes it. But I mean, it's worse than not believing it, I think.
But
I know. Chuck's going to be negative.
Negative is saying it would take, you know, 10 minutes of a few honest police officers. Investigators exposing the whole scam, and it never occurs. It just never occurs. All of this will disappear.
Right. Well, then Charlene says it was coordinated between a few select people. You know what, Charlene? I'm gonna go further. I think it was coordinated between a lot of people. You had to have, you know, cops, they have their meetings when they go in the morning, just like everybody, right? So somebody had to be briefing the cops. Okay, they're going to be people in the crowd who are going to identify themselves to you. And here's what they're going to, how they're going to identify themselves to you, right? And then you're going to work with them. But this was just this one video camera angle, right? That Jill Atkinson was able to get her hands on. I suspect this is going on in places all over. I mean, we saw the Ray Epps guy outside. We've seen other instances of people doing that. You see people with the windows. And the guy who shot this videotape, he was that fake BLM guy who admitted on camera that he was actually a Trump, you know, he was pretending to be a Trump supporter. He goes into and Ashley Babbitt is shot and killed. He's trying to incite things there too. So I don't think this was a few people. You know, when the FBI says, well, we had, what do they say, 20, 26 people. I mean,
well, the FBI, CIA had 100.
Exactly.
Naval Intelligence had 52.
And then from Sandra, oh, from Charlene, a false flag operation, but people can't grasp the concept of false flag because they themselves are not deceitful. Exactly. And from Sandra, don't forget about the bomb that was planted at the DNC building. They obviously didn't need to use that setup because the riot worked for them. And Charlene says, good point, Sandra. And that's exactly right. I mean, that was, I think, plan B, because you could even see, and we've done that before, I think Molly Hemingway, Julie Kelly have done a great job, the Revolver.com, a great job showing that, you know, first of all, the cops are sitting there, the bomb's like right there, they don't even notice it, like, right? And then somebody comes up and says, oh, hey, there's a bomb. They're like, oh, okay, thanks. And I mean, there's no, oh my God, a bomb, nothing like that, right? And so I think that, and then they can't, after years, 4 years, they can't find the person. And finally now, I don't know why they're pretending that they care now, but, and maybe just because, I mean, I hope somebody in Congress gets to the bottom of this, Cash Patel or somebody like that. I think you could be right. There's a lot of other stuff to
no,
do.
No, they're never solved. And yeah. I'm not sure why it is. I mean, you know, we've done enough on Watergate to know that the story told in Watergate's bullshit. And it just isn't the story as told. Certainly they were looking instead for prostitute things and everything else. None of it's come out. The fact that Bob Woodward is undoubtedly naval intelligence placed in the Washington Post after first being a local newspaper. I mean, all the things, they're in books and stuff, but I guess, you know, if they're said, but they're not amplified, then they don't exist. I mean, it's unless they have some criminal proceedings in which, you know, they...
Well, and they used this, though, by the way, to persecute, again, 1,500 people, right? And so let's just say, so you've got these guys, the provocateurs, the instigators, are working with the cops. The cops are working with them. The cops knowingly let them go in. And you're one person way down the line. You don't even know what's going on, and you wander in. I mean, Tucker Carlson showed in the video that he showed, that the video that he had before they fired him for showing it, that there were clearly people. Well, but there were clearly people wandering around who they were setting the signs up. Remember that the sign had fallen over. Who
probably setting the gallows up? They were out in the square.
You clearly had no idea, right? The doors were open and everybody was walking in. I think there were probably, I would bet, dozens of people who went in there having no idea that it was more riled up at the beginning. So it's just, you got Joe Biden's complete incompetence, I think, is one of the massive major cover-ups of the past 4 years. But I think this is another one, this fake insurrection. It truly was a Fed insurrection. And I think hopefully more details will come out, a bigger proportions than we're even aware of. I mean, talk about a corrupt government. And then idiots like Jason Crow and Krista Kafer, all these people who,
Krista,
they didn't fall for it. They just wanted to use the narrative. And thank goodness that the American people are like, yeah, we don't believe that. It's like, we don't even listen to you anymore.
I mean, so. Do we have the real skinny on the Boston Tea Party? Probably not. I mean, it was a narrative that we liked, and the British probably had a different narrative about that event. And they go, okay, that's a narrative, and we'll just, that's the way it'll be.
Right. Well, and from Charlene, this female reporter is, I think, Molly and Julie deserve a Medal of Freedom for Trump. He needs to hand about 100 after a second month in. I agree, right? And then from Sandra, there is also video of Antifa changing into a Trump supporter gear. That's right. And then from Leo, but the FBI could track down grandmas that just use their cell phones near the Capitol on January 6th, but have no idea who brought cocaine into the White House. Exactly. So,
yeah, but they need to get rid of it. Oh, no.
We disposed of that. But anyway, thank goodness Trump, Congress certified Trump. So we're off and rolling, right?
Well, I really hope there is at least a justice. And I don't care who goes to jail or doesn't go to jail, but It really would help if it was exposed. I mean, what was the real plot? You know, what was the real deal with the bombers? What was the real deal with all of them? Because, and then, immediately they have a deal. They said, okay, we'll have a select committee on investigating it with no Republicans except
Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney has decided to
produced by an ABC executive producer.
Yeah.
Right, the whole
and
thing.
They'll get down to the truth on this. And they do everything they can. They put it on TV. They rig witnesses, they do everything that they're humanly possible, and they still couldn't quite pull it off. But they couldn't give it up because they were always on the offensive, and they could always, you know, pretend that the Republicans, you know, we're law enforcement, we're those brave Capitol officers.
Well, Well, you know, and there's a part of me that wants to say, you keep it up, Jason Crow. You just keep tweeting about how awful this riot was. It's like, I guess maybe you should look at the CNN story and see that, number one, no one believes it. Number two, they don't care. Well, I guess you're right. I mean, they've got, if you're a Democrat, you are just screwed right now. I mean, you got nothing, right? You're like, even CNN is like, it was probably a mistake of them to keep pushing this whole Fed-surrection or the insurrection thing because nobody cares. And nobody believes it. But
what else they can put on air?
Yeah.
They're a great thing on climate change. They're fighting racism, helping working class families. I mean, they got nothing else.
No, the Democrats are lost, at least for a while, which is good because maybe they'll be busy trying to do other stuff.
Maybe they'll disappear.
Do you want to talk about Justin Trudeau a little bit?
My favorite guy, Justin Trudeau.
He just sort of quit today.
Yeah. So Justin Trudeau, who's got his approval rating in the low 20s, it's been prime
worse
minister.
Than I, right?
Oh, yeah, worse than anybody. Who, about 2016, came on the scene to enormous hosannas. And he was at Davos, and he was going to work on climate change. And he was the most popular Canadian prime minister, maybe ever, or at least one of them. And today he's in just, the people can't stand him. They can watch him. And he's good. You should, we should have some tape of him explaining how he wakes up every morning, loving the Canadians. That's always questionable because he's a Quebecer and they always go, well, when he really loves Canada, just go, I love Canadians. And he finally, after everybody screaming it at him, decided that he'd retire. But he doesn't know how to do anything else. I mean, you know, he's a school teacher, so they got him dinging one of the schoolgirls. So he doesn't want to go away. So he said, I will resign once my successor gets appointed. My successor can't be appointed anytime soon because I'm purloining the parliament. So nobody will be meeting. It'll just be me as prime minister. And then they'll choose a new leader of the Liberal Party. What I love is, you know, Canada, like a lot of Westminster parliamentarians, doesn't have a constitution. So how you go about picking a new leader for the the Liberal Party of Canada, nobody knows. I mean, it's up to the board of directors, and they can kind of go, okay, we'll have a 3-month process where everybody can vote by email or everybody can vote in person. They've had what they call conventions allowing certain people. They could do it just by the caucus. Okay, we'll just do it by the members. Or they could do it by members of parliament, or they could do it by all registered liberals, or they could do it by any way they really want to. But then they have to put Congress back in, parliament back together. It'll get a no confidence vote, and then it'll go to another election to see who wins that. All the while, Justin Trudeau will be prime minister.
I'd give myself a raise if I were him right now.
Well, why a raise? I mean, he's just so good at,
I just would.
At stealing every penny he can that's not tied down. So Canada, and they all go, look, United States, Donald Trump, we have to be strong. We've got to be united and strong. I know. Let's just have these endless election battles for the next 3 or 4 months.
This is from Leo. Instead of making Canada the 51st state, why don't we just make the West Coast, New York, and Illinois part of Canada? You go. Hey, that's perfect. And then I know, then Kamala could go be Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah.
Once I get that done. Well, I kind of love it. It's like, I quit as soon as they elect my successor, which of course isn't really going to happen for a while. So we'll just all muddle along. But I think
that's a good, great English word. We'll muddle along. I mean, they have no idea. He said, I've told the head of our party to, you know, get going on a robust and exciting contest here. And so whoever that is supposed to be going around, well, what kind of contest do we all want to have? Hey, kids, what kind of contest would you like to have? And who gets to elect who?
So he'll probably be like prime minister for the next 5 years is what you're saying.
Well, there was one prime minister for resigned and stayed in office, I think, 18 months.
Well, I think that what is interesting about that, though, is it is yet another globalist, World Economic Forum kind of guy. I mean, you know, you've got what's going on in France. You've got what's going on in Germany. You've got what's going on in Italy. I think that Now, granted that, you know, Klaus Schwab and those guys are not all going to just go away, just like the Democrats, to say, oh, we lost, never mind.
Never mind.
But I think
we'll give the world back to you.
I think it's interesting because remember, after Trump won, was defeated in 2020. It was it the Time magazine did the story about the cabal? I mean, they were doing it like it was a good thing of high tech people, Silicon Valley people, right, billionaires, world economic forum people who had got together to try to think of ways to sink Trump. And now that he was elected, to defeat his candidacy. Right.
Right.
What's interesting now is many of those same people are now buddies. They're Trump's BFF.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they realize that that's in their economic interest. So it's good. It's different. There is right now no. There is way more support for Trump in 2024 from the people outside of the government. Again, the Elon Musks and all of those people.
Well,
so,
apparently, you know, the tickets, and we were provided a ticket to the cheap seats, which we decided not to take up. We're not going to go to Washington and freeze to death
for the inauguration.
The inauguration, as much as
we were invited to the inauguration, although, and I appreciate because we were delegates, right, to the RNC, but it didn't include invitations to like any balls.
No.
There was no
food.
VIP, no food, nothing. It's just like
no drink.
I mean, as far as I could tell.
No.
We could just go to Washington, D.C.
And
stand on the street, which you pretty much can do anyway. So
at least you can now.
We have a better view. We've had a ton of great comments here. From Charlene, did Mike Johnson give the FBI a new building and more agents? Well, yes he did, Charlene. Then from Jim Jackson, talking about the Fed's direction. Somebody planned it. They need to go to jail. And then Charlene says, oh, the Democrats giving out loser rewards, calling them Medal of Honor. That's all they have. Trudeau and Mike Johnson look alike to me, smarmy. I kind of worry about that.
They do.
And then Thomas says,
Thomas says,
in terms of giving Canada, the West Coast, New York, and Illinois, as long as we don't get Quebec, I think it's good. And
well,
then
can
from,
we give them Denver? I mean,
and then, then from Charlene, maybe they'll replace one commie with another. They've used Trudeau up. He did a lot of damage for them. Yeah, you wish you could give him Denver. Here's a statistic.
Don't you wish up you could just do some kind of thing where you could identify all progressives and just, you know, give them California. It's the most beautiful
just
place
put
in
them
the world.
All there.
Just
right.
put them all together and they'll destroy it and
right.
be perfect. And we'll take all the shitty stuff. And we'll turn it into great stuff.
Into great stuff. Well, from Leo, were those actually Democrat participation awards? They were. Although I will say,
No, they got George Romney and Mitt Romney's father got one.
But Joe Biden today, from what I can tell, he over the weekend blocked new drilling off the entire East Coast, off of California, Oregon, Washington, the Bering Sea in Alaska, and the Eastern Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's pretty much everywhere, isn't there?
No, there's some more.
I mean, I guess, you know, maybe some oil, you know, fracking in Weld County they can still do. Now, Trump says, I don't think Joe Biden had anything to do with those medals of honor. I think that somebody sent this mass memo out and said, hey, anybody wants to give somebody a medal of honor, let them know and we'll do it.
Jill got together with
Well, okay, but Jill. But I don't think Joe did. I mean, Joe wasn't.
Joe wouldn't know anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
I also
don't think Joe. I mean, I'm worried about what might come. Joe, I don't think that Joe did this new frack drilling thing, too. I think somebody went and said,
really?
You sign here.
Yeah.
Then it's like,
really?
Said, okay. And now Trump says he will unban it, which might be harder than you think. But that's coming from the Hill, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, you can't depend on the Hill. I mean, there's,
yeah.
It would seem grossly logical that you could say, okay, one president could permanently ban. So nobody in the future, no matter who it was, subject to no review, subject to no congressional proven, on his own can permanently get rid of oil and gas.
Oil and gas in the United States. Well,
so
I mean,
obviously you can just, you know, the statute written in 1968 is kind of vague about what happens after you designate it, and he'll just undesignate it. But then you'll have some judge,
court fight. Yeah.
You know, judge who'll go, oh, no, 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 no. Then we'll have a fight about that.
But it's clearly trying to screw Trump over, right? Trump is
Well, of
like, you know,
course
the
it
whole
is.
drill baby drill, which will, I mean, releasing the energy industry is going to do great things for the economy in general. Here in Colorado, we're still going to be screwed because I don't know if you guys have gone to the grocery store lately, but there are no eggs. And if there are any eggs, what used to be like $2.59, it was $10.79 for eggs, right? Because now in Colorado, all we can have are cage-free chicken eggs, right?
Okay.
Now, never mind the fact that production is not geared up for that, right? But that's and then that it costs so much more. Granted, when you look at the chicken places, they're not, you know, you just assume not look at that. But in the meantime, to say, I mean, these are not happy chickens running around on the range,
no.
right? It's kind of
They're
like
free
they're just,
ranging.
not in cages. So, I mean, it's just stupidity. I mean, hopefully, although I've seen some Republicans say that's one of the things they're going to try to revoke, but they're not going to because of stupid Democrats. Maybe they could let the wolves in, which are destroying all kinds of things where they've been released.
Well,
and
couldn't we, wouldn't
they
you
could let them in with the cage-free chickens or something.
I don't know. Let a couple of them free range in the Capitol.
Right.
Take out a few Denver representatives.
Right. Well, and yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. When you look at that, once again, it's like the energy prices. When that's what eggs cost, okay, well, like, eggs are in all kinds of things. So restaurant prices are going to go up. Food prices are going to, everything. I mean, you know, it's kind of.
It's just so great stuff. I mean, there have been some shows, and it's just great about how Justin Trudeau, on a huge wave of progressive feel-goodism, has really screwed Canada with immigration policies, home building, everything. It's just been a
right.
massive, massive screw-up, which he says he's proudly going to continue for his remaining many months in office.
From Leo, I'm talking about Sanders says eggs, $10.89. Leo says that's why they're eating dogs and cats. That's right. The immigrants are onto something there. And Sanders says many people in Southern Colorado, because many of us live on acreages, have their own chickens, etc. Yeah, but you can't feed the rest of us. I mean, that's Sandra, you're going to have a segment on the show where you can like auction off. It'd be like a little commodities trading post, right? Where you can, you and your friends there can auction off some of your eggs because we can't get them, right? You can't get them. And then you can't, what did Chuck, this shows how often Chuck goes to the grocery store. Over the break, Chuck came back and goes, he's got in his hand this bundle of stuff from the grocery store. And Chuck is like, what's the deal with you can't get a bag at the grocery
well,
store?
Well, you can go to 7-Eleven, no bags.
I
they
know.
Don't give you one.
That's how often
it's not a
Chuck
10
goes
cents.
Shopping.
They'll just not, won't give you one.
No, I know. It's been in place forever. Yeah, from Leo, screw Bitcoin, invest in hens. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Sandra says, no, we're keeping our own, LOL. I know, you're going to have to start baking to supply the rest of us. Well, speaking of, here's another thing too, and there's so much to talk about. This statistic came out, this is going to shock you guys. Homelessness in Denver in 2024 rose 30%.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I'm always, you know, here's the thing. You got to be skeptical about homeless statistics because the people who count them are the homeless industry, which make obviously the more money, the more homeless people there are, the more homeless they get. So it's
well, we became, you know, the fetish of homelessness began, oh, I don't know, sometime under Federico Pena back in the late 1980s and 1990s and stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, we had 10% more homeless people.
Right.
And it was a disgrace. And so ever since then, we've been tackling the homelessness problem. And then we've gotten some great.
Didn't we have under Hickenlooper 10 years to end it?
Yeah.
That was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And we have a 10-year plan to end homelessness and so forth. And every year, the number of homeless go up. They never go down. They go, no, homelessness is one of those things where it cannot go down. It must go up. And it's just, it's taken over. Mike Johnson really does. I mean, he's been interviewed, and his two main things are the newcomers.
The two are combined. So the newcomers are frequently homeless, right? So
I mean, he didn't want to build parks. He didn't want to. No, he just wants to, you know, do that. And apparently, we're a progressive city now. I don't know how all our voters became progressive, but.
Well, from Leo, the bridge I live under has gotten crowded. Yeah, I think the statistics, like I said, it's good to be skeptical. But I think just anecdotally, you drive around Denver, there are way more tents, right? I was driving in Westminster, and it was at a weird intersection, and there were like all of a sudden a whole, there were like maybe five or six tents there. I'm like, what's that? Now, I think they'll probably make them move in Westminster.
Westminster, you know.
It's not, they don't let them like sit there on the side of the road like that.
They've had whole discussions.
No, they put them in hotels and apartments.
Well, they say we have to be humane. Everything must be done.
Humanely. Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of a, and then from Charlene, every plot should have four chickens on it. There you go. And then it'll be feed the homeless, feed the chickens. And it'll be one big happy thing. And if they could only have enough bags, they could give that to Chuck. But yeah, I just thought that's funny. I'm like, Chuck, that law's been in effect now for a while. So, and now free too. We'll have to see. I may have to do more driving in Denver because... well, in Denver, the cops are no longer stopping you for traffic kind of stuff, right?
I mean, which is great. I love that.
That's what I'm saying too. Because I was on the phone. I shouldn't confess this. I was only on the phone, and I mean, I had it on speaker, but I went to pick it up. I'm like, oh my god, that new law is in effect. You can't talk on your phone anymore. And so I'm like, I could just see that. You know what I mean? It's like we have homeless. You can't have eggs. Can't have a bag. But if you have your phone in your hand, you can be, I don't know what, arrested. I don't know if Denver's going to allow the cops to stop for that or not.
But they got, the cops are in training. They're getting ready to take on the Border Patrol.
Here's from Leo. Wheatridge has been really good about the homeless stuff, but as soon as you cross the city border, there are tents and campers, etc. Well, exactly. But here's the thing that proves, though, Leo, and this is the bottom line. It's like, if you build it, they will come. If you will, don't feed the bears, as Peter Boyle always says, right? And here's the thing. So if you don't allow it, they'll quit doing it. And so if all of the cities, if Westminster doesn't, if Weaver doesn't, they'll quit doing it. It's like, it's easy to solve that problem. Just quit doing it, Don't give them free stuff. If you make it harder to be homeless and don't make it so easy.
They'll become newcomers.
They'll become newcomers. What else do we want to talk about today?
I want to talk about, and 10 years ago, approximately June 2015, Donald Trump came down the golden escalator to announce that he was going to run for president. Now, he came down to a enthusiastic crowd of a couple dozen people, all paid $50 by Trump to be there. And they handed out his prepared remarks, which were short, pithy, but, a three-point plan for this and that, which he just ignored and went into kind of a diatribe about immigration and immigrants. And that was it. That was, at the time, if you would have said, okay, if you were down there with some of the rich guys, okay, I'll bet you 15 years from now that Donald Trump will be about to be sworn in for the second time as president of the United States.
And will have launched an incredible movement, not just in the United States, but across the world. They've been the face of it.
I mean, what if you were all those guys who were you were talking about are all getting together saying, okay, we've got to figure out, who should be our next leader, what do we do, and so forth. And the guy go, well, I know this guy, he's got his building at the bottom of it. He just announced for president. I mean, the chances of him winning were rated as zero. Mm-hmm. Absolute zero. And then so he got some notoriety negative about the immigration part, and then he started participating in it, and they announced, okay, well, Donald Trump can't do it. There's all these, next time, Julie, let's have that one where all these people are laughing about Donald Trump.
We'll handicap the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's just 15 years later, he's the world's greatest leader. and he's constantly, but we're told, no, not him. I mean, we'll give you Ron DeSantis. He's nice. I mean, he'll do your cultural stuff.
We've got a ton of, Dr. Donna. Yes, Dr. Donna, you're right. I thought you could talk on your phone, just not hold it in your hand. Yes, but I was about to pick it up. From Leo, I couldn't have given a crap about Trump until during the debate he said, low energy Jeb. Then he was my guy. And from Mark, spend a few minutes on Judge Marchand's sentencing of Trump later this week. I think the judge is real stupid for doing this. Yeah, Judge Marchand, because he doesn't want to send him to prison. It's just going to sentence him so he could be a convicted felon, like anyone cares about that. But I think it's a ploy. Trump today, I don't think he just announced that he filed an appeal. I think they did appeal. And if they can keep it appealed or keep it from happening until after the inauguration, then he won't be able to sentence him. I think you're right, though, Mark. I think that the judge is stupid, just like Jason Crow is stupid for continuing to talk about the riots on January 6th, right? They're pushing stuff that no one cares about. And I'm just saying, while they're doing that, they're not actually worrying about fixing their party and addressing things that people do care about. So keep it up. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, too. You're a lawyer. My guess is that there's not going to be time enough because it's going to have to work its way up. And if you're the court and you really, even the Supreme Court, you kind of want to punt, all you have to do is say, we're not going to talk about it right now. And then he becomes president and then they can't do it, right?
Well, who knows what he can do?
Yeah, that's true.
There are no rules anymore. We no longer, you no longer can say, they can't do that. Well, they can't prevent Trump from running. Oh, they can try.
Right,
know,
right. Sure. Well, but I think, yeah. So but Mark, that's a good idea. We'll be keeping an eye on that.
Let me shake some time. How many people hope there is a revenge tour?
Oh, yeah.
That we get to see Liz Cheney in orange. And just, you know, squat walking and other things.
At least I should raid her house. Hey, listen, that is going to wrap it up for us today. On Wednesday, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Colorado Republican Party. We're going to give you one quick way to spot a rhino, okay, and talk about it's like the flip-flopping going on with some of the people in the Colorado Republican Party. And then on Friday, there was over the weekend at Mar-a-Lago, a documentary about John Eastman came out at Mar-a-Lago. And we're going to have John on the show on Friday to talk about that, too.
Yeah, so, the Italian premier there.
Everybody.
Donald Trump. And,
we were not invited to that one either. We need to get better tickets to things. Okay.
I mean, we said there's some people going down to.
Right.
Would you be interested? And we said,
no. Well,
we
once
do
again,
not move.
Once again.
That wasn't a ticket, of course. That was just a vague. We never actually get invited. We just got to
Florida. Yeah, we could go to Florida.
Would you like to go to Miami?
All right. So on Wednesday, how to spot a rhino. On Friday, John Eastman.
Yeah, John Eastman's great. I just talked to John this morning. He's in great spirits. So
that's right.
It'll be great to have our friend on Friday.
That's right. And we will see all of you guys on Wednesday. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.